In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're looking at the history of Old Israel, that history that is found in the Old Testament. And because it has spiritual significance for all of the world, that history is really the history of us all, at least spiritually speaking. Now, you might remember how the Israelites came out of Egypt and wandered through the wilderness and came to the Promised Land. And when they first settled in the Promised Land, God ruled Israel by judges that he appointed that would deliver them from their enemies and also help them understand how to apply the law that God had given Moses to their personal affairs. Well, that lasted for a time, but the people decided they wanted a king to rule over them. It was the rejection of God's way. Nevertheless, God granted them a king, and Saul reigned over the 12 tribes of Israel. Following Saul, David reigned over them. Following David, Solomon reigned over them. And for a brief time, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, reigned over them. But when Rehoboam became king, he was not wise like his father. He was foolish. And when the people asked for a little relief from the taxes, the tax burden that Jerusalem had placed on all the 12 tribes of Israel, well, he consulted with the young men, and they told him, "Don't do that." Said, "Make that tax burden harder and let them know who's boss here." And that's what Rehoboam did. The old men said that he should give them some relief, but the young men he'd grown up with said, "No, now's the time to show you're tough." Well, he did that. And the 10 northern tribes of Israel rebelled from under him and set up Jeroboam to be their king instead of Rehoboam. And only Judah and the little tribe of Benjamin and the Levites that lived in those areas, and they remained loyal to Rehoboam in Jerusalem. And so you now have two kings over the 12 tribes, Jeroboam to the north, Rehoboam to the south, Rehoboam ruling from Jerusalem. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson today that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 18th, 1927, about the time this kingdom divided. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, we read the lesson text in our last class session, 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. And that's where we're going to be for the next few classes. And so you may want to mark that in your Bible and have that ready to turn to it when you hear the old school bell ring. Now let's look at the geographical notes. We're going to talk about a place called Shechem. Now this was an important town in Palestine. It was in Samaria, in the valley between Mount Jezreel on the south and Mount Ebal on the north, the Mount of Blessing and the Mount of Cursing that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 27. There Abraham stopped and received the promise of God and built an altar and worshiped Jehovah in Genesis chapter 12. There Jacob's family stopped, returning from Paddan Aram, and had trouble with the Shechemites. About a mile east of Shechem was the village of Sychar. Shechem was made a city of refuge by Joshua in Joshua 20. It was there that Joshua addressed the Israelites. Joseph's bones were buried there. There in conspiracy with Abimelech. There in conspiracy, Abimelech was made king at a time when God wanted the people ruled by judges. In Judges chapter 9, there the people assembled to make Rehoboam their king. Jeroboam rebuilt this area, this Shechem, and he made it his capital. It now has about 15,000 inhabitants. Now, that was back in 1927 when it had that many inhabitants. Bethel is another prominent town in Palestine, about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. Its former name was Luz. From Jacob's vision there, he named it Bethel, which means the house of God. Before this, Abraham built an altar there and called upon Jehovah. Near there, Deborah lived. For a time, the Ark of God was there, and Israel assembled there to ask counsel of God. There at Bethel, Samuel judged Israel, and there Jeroboam located one of his golden calves, as we're going to read about in this lesson. Dan was a town in the northern limits of Palestine, near the source of the Jordan. Its original name was Laish. It was built by part of the tribe of Dan and named for him. Idolatry, through the image of Micah, had long since been established in Dan, and we can read that horrible story about that in Judges chapter 18. There Jeroboam located another one of his golden calves, as we will see in this lesson. We are familiar with the expression, from Dan to Beersheba, Beersheba being in the extreme southern extremity of Palestine. It's called Beersheba. I know locally we call it Beersheba, don't we? Beersheba. And sometime when I'm reading my Bible, being from Warren County as long as I have been, I'll read Beersheba. But the more correct name is Beersheba. Jeroboam built Peniel. Jacob called the place where he wrestled with the angel Peniel, which means the face of God. This place was east of the Jordan and on the south side of the brook Jabbok. Now, in introducing this lesson, instead of helps and hints for the teachers, we have a more extensive introduction to this lesson. The book of Kings was originally one. We call it 1st and 2nd Kings, but it was originally just one book in the Hebrew Bible called Kings, the present division having been made when the Hebrew was translated into the Greek in the Septuagint translation that occurred between the Testaments. It is nowhere stated in the Bible who wrote these books. Jewish tradition attributes them to Jeremiah. And you can look up in a good Bible dictionary and have a better discussion of this. And the author here suggests, or the E.A. Elam of these Sunday school lessons, suggests Smith's Bible dictionary. The history given in these books extends through about 400 years. They give the history of the undivided kingdom through Solomon's reign, and the history of the two kingdoms of Judah and Israel to the downfall of Israel, the history of the kingdom of Judah to the Babylonian captivity. The author of these books cites other books of history and prophecies like the book of the Acts of Solomon, 1 Kings 11:41, the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, 1 Kings 14:26, the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, 1 Kings 12 and verse 19. These histories and prophecies were written by different ones, namely Nathan the prophet, Gad the seer, Ahijah the Shilonite, Iddo the seer, and Shemaiah the prophet. In 2 Chronicles 13:22, we have the commentary of the prophet Iddo. It mentions the commentary of the book of the Kings in 1 Chronicles 24:27. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 34 refers to the history of Jehu, the son of Hananiah, which is inserted in the book of the kings of Israel. Isaiah wrote of Uzziah, of Hezekiah, and of Ahaz. And so you can find different books that were referenced, but the prophet that God chose put all this together in the history that we needed to know down through the ages in the books that are now called 1st and 2nd Kings. Now this lesson marks the beginning of the kingdom of Israel, which continued 254 years. Some put the time a few years less. The division of the kingdom, as we shall learn, was produced by Solomon's sins and selfishness, vanity, and unwisdom of Rehoboam. That probably we better call this then the foolishness of Rehoboam. The books of Kings and Chronicles give parallel histories of these kingdoms until the captivity of Israel. The Kings, books of Kings, seem to read as though they're written by the prophets. The books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles read as though they may have been written by the priests. These lessons, with their connections, furnish a good opportunity for studying the history of these kingdoms. Now let's talk about Rehoboam. This lesson presents us with two prominent persons, and their names sound similar. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. So you look for the R sound in Rehoboam, and that's in the southern kingdom, and J found Jeroboam, who became king in the northern kingdom. The former, that's Rehoboam, was prominent for his weakness. And the latter, that is Jeroboam, is well known for his wickedness and his rebellion. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. His mother was Naamah, the Ammonitess, for whom Solomon built a temple for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, or Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. His mother doubtless had an evil influence on him. He is the only recorded son of Solomon. Adam Clark said years ago that he was a poor, unprincipled fool. The wisest man had a fool for a son. Solomon must have realized this when he wrote in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." He had 1,000 wives, Solomon did, 1 Kings 11:3, but only one recorded son. It is stated that Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, 1 Kings 14:21, but this, supposed some think, might have been a mistake. It must be 21 years. Solomon reigned only 40 years, and if Rehoboam was 41 years old when he succeeded his father, he would have been born a year before Solomon began to reign, which is not the case. Sometimes these numbers refer to things different than we first suppose upon first reading them in the scriptures, and we have to be careful how we relate them. It says that he was young and tender-hearted, and not able to withstand the worthless men and base fellows gathered by Jeroboam against him. Solomon left his son a magnificent kingdom and great opportunities. Solomon ruled over all the kings from the river Euphrates even into the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And for a description of Solomon's wealth and resources, we can find that in 1 Kings chapter 10 and 2 Chronicles chapter 9. There was no other nation so wealthy and whose commerce extended so far. Solomon's wisdom, wealth, glory, sins, and downfall were great. And many young men like Rehoboam with splendid opportunities have come to naught. Evil companions corrupt good morals, and boys and young men may follow the advice of the foolish and wicked associates and not act on the counsel of the wiser older men.